An article in the Twin Falls Times News, which appeared last week, is bringing into light another hurdle rural Idaho communities must overcome. The article, titled "Idaho's Rural Doctor Shortage, The Problem Persists," focused on Dr. Keith Davis, who serves the people of Lincoln County. He has been the county's only doctor since 1985. Yes, you heard that right. He is the only doctor serving an area as big as the state of Rhode Island. So what happens in Lincoln County when Dr. Davis decides to retire? Rural counties like Lincoln, Camas, and Gooding, and that is just to name a few, are facing similar questions. So what is our state doing to fix this problem? District 19 State Representative Matt Erpelding is joining me live by phone today to talk about what needs to be done, what the legislature has done so far, and if that's actually enough to meet Idaho's need for more doctors. Representative Erpelding, thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me today.
A first question for you. Idaho ranks 49th in the nation per capita for doctors. And here's a problem. One third of our doctors are set to retire in the next 10 years. So what needs to be done, especially when it comes to rural Idaho? I mean, when we look at our urban centers, I think it's we seem to have enough doctors. But, you know, there's rural parts of our state. This is a huge issue.
Yeah, it's a massive issue, particularly for rural Idaho areas where you have a less centralized population. So the counties, Lincoln, Camas, Gooding, but even up north in Shoshone County, in Clearwater County, areas, Custer County, you have a real challenge in that your doctor population is one of the oldest in the country, with a third of them ready to retire. And Idaho lags behind in terms of residency programs. And really, as we see an influx of graduates from the new ICOM, Idaho's medical school, unless there's placement programs in place for these graduates to continue with their graduate medical education through residency programs, they're likely to leave the state and not actually stay in the state. Statistics indicate that most doctors set up shop within 50 to 75 miles of where their residency took place. And so that's the solution, is making sure that we have enough residency placement programs in rural Idaho to ensure that some of these graduating doctors stay in the communities where they did their residency.
And, you know, we've spoken to the new head of the new medical school that's opening in August. We've had conversations about the need for residencies in Idaho. That seems to be a sticking point. And I understand that. I know that we have some new residency programs happening, some over in Eastern Idaho at Eastern Idaho Regional Medical Center, to name just one location. But is that enough, though? Because when you're talking one third of our doctors getting set to retire in 10 years, a handful of residencies here and there, which can take upwards of 4 years, it doesn't seem to compute.
No, right now I believe there's 7 medical residencies plus or minus in the state of Idaho, and for us to get to a place where we're actually meeting the need of our future, we probably need to get somewhere between 20 and 25, maybe 22 medical residency programs, with an emphasis on rural medical residencies. The legislature has taken some steps to do that, but it is astounding at the lack of substantial investment to make sure that we get there. And the reason that that's important to note is if we're not investing in our rural communities, whether it be education or doctors, those rural communities struggle. In order to get to 20 plus, it's going to be a very minute actual investment over 10 years, about $16 million over 10 years. That's roughly, you know, $1.5 million a year over the next 10 years to get to those residencies. But there's a substantial startup cost. And in fact, what was requested was $5 million to start it up and get it going, and then to trickle it out over the next 9 years after that. Governor Otter recommended $1 million, which is short of that startup. The JFAC, the Joint Appropriations, actually saw better and gave about twice that, so $2 million. But that's still $3 million short of what's needed to actually propel us to a place where we can address the needs of the future.
So tell me about that, in the sense that this strategic long-term plan, which was a 10-year plan, was introduced, if I'm correct, by Dr. Ted Epperly, who is the state's general medical education coordinator. And what he did was he laid out this plan for 10 years, and it would cost $16 million overall. And that seems like a lot of money. But you're talking $5 million to get started. What would happen with that $5 million? Because now there's $2 million that JFAC gave, and this happened in the last legislative session, correct?
Correct. It happened in the last budgeting process, so the last legislative session.
So what happens with this money? And like you said, there is still this $3 million need. Just to start this, we're not even talking about the $16 million in this strategic plan.
Correct. That $5 million was really to build out the infrastructure for medical residency programs, because medical residency programs are expensive. Every doctor that goes through their residency program is invested in heavily. And you also need practicing physicians to be their mentors, to be in a position to help coach them, and you need a structure to support that entire process. And right now, with only 7, including Idaho State University, Kootenai Medical, Bingham Memorial in Eastern Idaho, and the family practice here in Boise, with those in place, it's just not enough to meet the need. So you have to build that out, and that takes time. And then the hope is that, one thing we need to give credit to is Governor Otter has increased the number of medical students from Idaho through what's called the WAMI program from when he first became governor, from 20 to 40. So he's doubled that. And in Utah, he's taken it up from about 7 to 10. So we do have an increase in doctors through the WAMI program. As the new medical program comes on board, the new medical school comes on board, and they graduate close to 150 doctors a year, those doctors need to be able to move into an infrastructure that allows them to have that residency program. And you can't set that up overnight. It takes time. So that's why there was a substantial need for money on the front end, so that when those doctors finish their first 2 years of school and they're ready for their residency programs, systems are in place to take them on and get them into a practice.
I'm speaking with Representative Matt Erpelding about the shortage of doctors here in Idaho and what the state needs to be doing to help fix this problem. Representative Erpelding, I wanted to talk about the WAMI program as well as the new medical school, because as we are churning out these doctors, if they don't do their residencies in Idaho, because even with the WAMI program, if people aren't aware, how it works is that these students are able to do their training, their 4 years of training in Idaho. They go to the UW to Seattle for a couple of months, but most of it is in Idaho, that 4 years of medical school. And now with the new medical school opening in Meridian, but statistics show, just like we talked about in the beginning of this segment, if you do not do your residency in a particular state, it's highly unlikely that you will likely come back and practice, even if you went to medical school in Idaho. So are we putting the cart before the horse in the sense of here we have a new medical school, we have WAMI, but if we only have 7 residency programs, where are these students going to end up?
Well, and I think that's why what Dr. Epperly was proposing is so important. Because the first year that the new college, or the new medical school, is going to graduate students is 2022. And so we have time to build out these medical residency programs and get in a position to be able to not become an exporter of doctors, but rather onboard them through medical residency programs located here in Idaho. And you're exactly right. Studies have shown that there's a retention rate of 50 to 75% of the doctors who do residencies in the communities that they're serving. So that's a very high retention rate. It's real similar to rural teachers. We know we have a rural teacher shortage. If we can get those young teachers to go into school, they're likely to, buy a house, have a child, build a community in that place and stay. It's the same thing with doctors. And we have to be investing. We have to have systems in place to invest in those rural communities so that the infrastructure is there, whether it's teachers or doctors or psychiatrists, et cetera.
And is within the State House, What are the conversations and the discussions happening around this? I mean, is there a meeting of the minds between both sides about the need for this? And is the sticking point, you know, where does the money come from?
Yeah, I mean, that's 90% of the time the sticking point is where the money comes from. Our legislature has definitely been talking about the importance of medical education. It is something that is on most legislators' top of mind, because we know that this one third of the population that's about to retire is a very big challenge. It's not just a challenge in terms of having access to a single doctor like you have in Lincoln County, but there are counties where there's such a shortage of doctors that that actually impacts insurance rates. So it also will drive up insurance rates. So the conversation is in the legislature, but we are reluctant to make enough of an investment to actually meet the needs that the professionals have asked for. And that's not just true with this $2 million out of the $5.2 million that was asked for by the graduate medical education program, but it's also true with the career ladder. You know, starting teacher salaries, $38,000, what was recommended, $40,000. And so that's the culture of the legislature, which is to invest a little bit, but not invest so that it would be completely successful. And that actually hampers our development rurally in particular. It really slows down our ability to maintain our rural communities and invest in those rural communities to the level that we need to.
Well, I am sure that this discussion will be coming up again next legislative session. I want to thank you, Representative Erpelding, for coming on today and talking to us about this need for doctors in the state. And also thank you for talking to us about what the legislature has done and hopefully what they will be doing. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Jim, and have a great day.
You too.